WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into the program. And although the song says it's a beautiful day, it's a rainy day. And it looks like it's going to stay a rainy day. It's just the weather pattern we're in right now, but it sure beats snow, right? You know, they always... Listen, I watched a lot of Looney Tunes when I was a kid. I watched a lot of... And I liked, you know, not only the main characters, but I liked all those little side characters and like the old Hollywood ones where they would make fun of the actors of the day and how they would work in some of those jokes. And if you remember, I think it was in the Foghorn Leghorn cartoons, there was the female hen. And one of the shorts had a Frank Sinatra chicken. And the song always went, if April showers should come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. So, like, I always keep that in mind, you know, more so than the rhyme we were taught in school. You know, if April showers bring Mayflowers, what do Mayflowers bring? Pilgrims. But the that song always sticks in my mind this time of year when it rains, because I say, well, you know, just this is the rainy season, but... Our rainy season apparently goes well beyond April and starts at the beginning of March. But like I said, I'd rather have this than snow, so we'll deal with it. Speaking of dealing with things, so yesterday, I kind of teased this a little bit as much as I could. I didn't want to present this information to you on the air without confirming it. And not that I didn't trust the people who were giving me this information, but the rule in journalism is trust but verify. You know, believe that people are telling you the truth, but make sure that they're telling you the truth. Because sometimes, you know, people don't have bad intentions in telling you information, but sometimes their information just might be a little bit incorrect. Every time information is passed from one person to another, there's the chance for bias, there's a chance for details being omitted. There's a chance for misinterpretation. So you just got to check into things. And so yesterday morning, someone told me about what went on at Precinct 1F. There was also a Facebook comment about what had gone on at Precinct 1F. And so I reached out to the election commission, the Board of Election Commissioners, and the city to find out if it was true what I had heard, that Precinct 1F ran out of Republican ballots on Tuesday afternoon for over an hour. Now, we're not talking about at the beginning of the day, like in 1D, where, yeah, okay, we made a mistake, we forgot to pack it in. We're talking about in the middle of the day. This, to me, doesn't make any sense, because the poll workers, and again, I don't want to put this on them, because someone should have made sure there were enough to begin with, but the poll workers should have seen that that stack was dwindling. They should have said, they should have called the election office and said, hey, it looks like we might run out of Republican ballots here. It's only the afternoon and we're open until 8 p.m. Could someone bring us some more Republican ballots? And I don't know that they didn't do that. They could have told somebody an hour before they were running out. Let me rephrase that. They could have told somebody an hour before they actually ran out, that they were running out. I don't know when they informed the elections office. But my guess is these are seasoned people, for the most part, that have done this before. They have a rough idea when they look at that stack and say, that's not going to be enough. Now, maybe it got really busy. I doubt it. But still, hey, 14%, almost 15% voter turnout for a presidential primary. I know it seems odd to be celebrating that, but considering what we've gotten in the last couple of elections, we'll take it. But I doubt it was ever really super busy that it went unnoticed that that stack of ballots was dwindling. And again, this is just my own inference. I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that they probably contacted the election office before that last ballot was gone. They didn't wait until they ran out and then said, uh-oh, we ran out of Republican ballots. Somebody better call down to City Hall. But the poll worker told my source that it took over an hour to get more ballots. So I reached out to the Board of Election Commissioners, who actually, you know, to Manny DiBrito, because that's whose email I have. I emailed Manny and I emailed John Darling, spokesperson for the mayor's office. And I'm you know what? I'm going to tell you exactly what I sent over. Just give me, bear with me for 1 second, because I hadn't planned this. Okay. So I said, just a couple of follow-up questions. Someone informed me that Precinct 1F ran out of the Republican ballots Tuesday afternoon and were without them for over an hour. Was this true? What time was it and how long until they received them? Also, and this was to clarify some of the questions that those of you had, when one ballot is unavailable, is there a pause on voting for those taking other ballots as well? Those were the questions that I sent over at 6:34 a.m. yesterday to Manny DiBrito and John Darling. John Darling got back to me, I'm assuming, you know, when he was actually checking work emails at about 8:30. And he's always great about getting back to you, even if he doesn't have the answers for you yet. He'll get back to you and say, I will look into this for you. And that goes back to when he works at the sheriff's office. And, you know, full disclosure, I consider John Darling a friend. We worked together for many years at the Standard Times. I know him as a well-organized person. So when he says that he's going to do something, I know that he's going to do it. And if it takes a while to get an answer, I know that that's not avoiding the question. He's trying to get me an answer. It's just taking him a little while to get the information. So I got the response at 4:23 p.m. I was actually on my way home from the dentist, a little bit nervous that I might not be able to come into the show this morning because I'd never had Novocaine numb me as much as that did. And it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big procedure. I had some fillings when I was a kid and they had to replace some of those fillings. So it wasn't anything major, and I only got Novocaine in one spot because only one spot was sensitive. The rest, I was just like, yeah, go ahead, drill away. But it froze up most of my face for quite a while, probably about 3 hours. So anyway, I was driving home, and I got this response. The Board of Election Commissioners has determined that voting in the March 5th Republican primary at the Christian Fellowship Center, which is Precinct 1F on Church Street, polling location was affected when Republican primary ballots were not available for a brief period in the early afternoon. The Board of Election Commissioners and the City Solicitor's Office have looked into the scope of the potential impact on Ward 1F voters. A total of two voters were affected, and both returned later to successfully cast their ballots. The Board of Election Commissioners regrets any inconvenience and appreciate the efforts of the two voters who returned to participate in the election. A review of all polling locations is also being conducted as a prudent additional step. So there's no answer in there to my question of what time did this happen? Early afternoon. Okay, that's fine. Maybe the poll workers couldn't give you an exact time. But I asked about it being for over an hour. I'm told a brief period. What's a brief period? If a brief period is over an hour, I want to know why it took an hour for those ballots to get there. As I mentioned yesterday, you know, we need to know why the timing took what it took. Now, 40 minutes on Tuesday morning to get from City Hall to Vibra Hospital at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, that sounds feasible to me. Seems a little long. But it's not like the people in the election office can drop everything, or whoever was going to bring it. And again, it's not like they can just hand the ballots to anybody. They can't just call a courier service and say, hey, go bring this over there. They can't take a UMass Dartmouth intern. I don't know if they have any, but they can't just take an intern and say, hey, go bring these over. I understand that. But 40 minutes, it does seem long. But it also seems feasible. But over an hour in the early afternoon to get from City Hall to Church Street, I don't know if whoever brought the ballots over is aware of this. You can use the highway. So anyway, again, we don't know how long that brief period actually was. And then, you know, no response to my other question about if one ballot is unavailable, is voting put on pause for the other ballots? I don't think that it makes a difference. I think the real headline here is that they shouldn't have run out either way. I mean, I get it. People think, well, it's an unfair advantage if people can keep voting in those other primaries, but my thought is that there just probably wasn't a high volume of people at that time. Personally, if it was me, I don't know if it's a rule or not, but if it was me, I would have said, I'm going to hold everybody off. If I was in charge of that precinct, I'd say, we're just going to hold everybody off, just so there's no illusion of impropriety. So, in reaching out to the Board of Election Commissioners and the city about trying to find out more about that, I also reached out to the Secretary of State's office because, as we mentioned yesterday and on Tuesday, as Joanne Hodgson told us when she called into South Coast Now with Chris, Mass GOP had filed a complaint with the Secretary of State's office about 1D not having Republican ballots when it opened. And so I emailed the spokesperson for Secretary Bill Galvin's office and said, so can you confirm that you received a complaint about this? Can you talk about what the next steps are? And also, we also heard about this other one in 1F. Have you heard anything about that? Well, apparently my email to the Secretary of State's office about 1F triggered the Secretary of State's office to contact the city to ask them to look into that. But in terms of what happened with 1D, Deborah O'Malley, who is the Director of Communications for the Office of the Secretary of the Commonwealth, said, we will, of course, be following up with the city and their legal department to investigate and address this issue. They also said that they didn't hear from any voters about either issue. No New Bedford voters reached out to the Secretary of State's office to complain about either. And if you look at the numbers provided in the statements by the New Bedford Board of Election Commissioners, we're talking about 10 people that were affected over these two polling locations, 8 in 1D, 2 and 1F. Now, just anecdotally based on the phone calls we received and the comments I've seen on social media, I've got to think that there was more, but you can't guarantee that all those people that are saying that they were there were actually there. You know? For the 100,000 people that were at Woodstock or however many people were there, you know, that number is tripled and quadrupled over the years of people who said they were there when they weren't. So, you know, you've got to take it with a grain of salt when somebody says that they were there and they were turned away. But still, those 10 New Bedford voters, if you are upset about what happened, you should probably contact the Secretary of State's office just to let them know. Since they're saying no New Bedford voters reached out to them, it was only the Mass GOP. But they are asking for the city to investigate and report back to their office about what happened. And they'll probably have the same questions that we're asking here. Now, today, at 11 o'clock, Mayor John Mitchell will be in with Chris on South Coast Now, just shifting midweek with the mayor a day because the mayor was out of town. So he'll be in with Chris today, and I am positive they will be discussing this topic. But in the meantime, if you want to find out more information about what happened in the afternoon at Precinct 1F, if you want to read that statement for yourself, you can check out the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And I want to thank the folks who reached out and let us know. You know, I heard Chris mentioning it yesterday, but you, the audience, bring us a lot of the information, a lot of the stories that we then can turn around and look into. And gone are the days. I mean, WBSM was never hugely staffed in the news department anyway. We've always made it work with a limited staff, but gone are the days when you can have people that just wake up every day, get dressed and go to work by hanging around City Hall and looking for stories to report, or hanging around the courthouse and looking for stories to report. So we depend on you to be eyes and ears a lot of the time to bring us information. And not every tip that you give us is going to turn into something. Not everything that you give us is something that we get an answer on. But we do take what you bring to us seriously and we do look into it. 508-996-0500. You can also send me app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We're going to take a break here and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Now he's trying to save me, but I'm doing all right, the best that I can. Just another fallen angel, trying to get through the night. Step by step, one by one, higher than high.
Welcome back in. We're going to be going into the newsroom with Phil in just a moment. We will get all of the headlines of the day. 508-996-0500. That's the number to call in and chime in. We can talk more about this, I guess, another mess up here in Tuesday's election. We can also talk about this story that I heard Barry discussing yesterday as I was going to the dentist and coming back from the dentist and all, you know, running all around. I was also out in the Wareham Recycling Center doing a story that I hope to have for you later on today. Something very interesting for those of you who are voracious readers and like to save money on books. But the talk was about this meeting of the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament Committee to decide if women can serve on the committee. And it's certainly something that you know, the traditionalists are against. But I don't personally, I don't understand why in 2024 that's a tradition that needs to be upheld. We can talk more about that. 508-996-0500. You can send your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app, which is brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. They're the ones that make it available for you for free from your app store and keep giving us the opportunity to add all these new features that we put in there, like the app chat, like the voicemail feature, the open line feature, like being able to send us photos and video of breaking news events and things like that. So thanks to South Coast Towing for all that they do. There's also the, I guess, well, there's some other stories that I'll share with you that I think will have you scratching your head this morning. So we will get into all of that. I don't know if Phil's ready to do the news or not. It looks like he's recording some fun 107 news. So the poor guy. So when he comes in, he has to do the news on Fun 107. He has to do the news on WBSM. Okay. So Phil, you're going to take this now. You ready? All right. I will. I'll turn it over to you then.
Biden prepares for tonight's State of the Union address, a conviction in the Alec Baldwin film set shooting, and the government urges people to leave Haiti.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is expected to play up the work his administration has done on things like infrastructure during his State of the Union address tonight. A preview of the speech says the president will outline how he's making the wealthy pay their fair share. He'll also push other policies that could pick up support from both sides of the aisle, such as helping veterans and fighting cancer. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signed an in vitro fertilization protection bill shortly after it was officially passed on Wednesday. The new law protects providers from lawsuits and criminal prosecution for the damage or death of an embryo during IVF services. Jurors convicted Rust movie armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed on Wednesday of involuntary manslaughter in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Hutchins was killed when the prop gun held by actor Alec Baldwin fired a live round. Gutierrez-Reed faces a maximum of 18 months in prison. The Texas cattle industry is suffering severe damage from the wildfires in the Panhandle. Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller says at least 3,600 cows have been killed, and the number is growing. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says he expects interest rates to come down. He just can't say exactly when. The central bank leader added that policymakers are keeping an eye on risks that inflation poses. The U.S. government is urging American citizens to leave Haiti amid fears the Haitian government could fall at any time. This comes as gangs have caused systemic violence in the country's capital city. In the past week, they freed thousands of prison inmates and forced the closure of Haiti's main airport. Threats of civil war and genocide have been made by a key gang leader who is calling on the embattled prime minister to step down. And ex-owner Elon Musk says the social media platform is considering getting rid of showing how many likes and reposts a post gets. Speaking at a conference Wednesday, Musk said that info could clutter content on the service previously known as Twitter. Since buying the company, Musk added a feature allowing people to see how many views a post has received.
WBSM Sports. Brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Red Sox and Atlanta Braves had spring training today at 1. The Bruins host the Toronto Maple Leafs at TD Garden tonight at 7. And the Celtics on the road to play the Denver Nuggets at 10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Thursday morning, everybody. We're still seeing some rain heavy at times. It'll turn scattered, tapers off for a while as we head into the afternoon. In the meantime, mid-40s this morning, the wind will be shifting from the south to the west. This afternoon, cloudy skies with some patchy fog, mid-40s. The wind will be picking up, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, we're expecting another round of rain, turning mostly cloudy. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And 508-996-0500 if you want to call in. App chat messages are open. Open line voicemails are there for you if you want to utilize that option. Again, it's super easy to do. You just open up the app, you hit that open line voicemail button, and then you just select that you want to record audio. I mean, you can send me a video too. It doesn't matter, but you don't have to. It's early in the morning. You might not be up and ready yet. You know, you might be in your pajamas still. You don't have to send the video if you're not comfortable with it. In fact, it's probably better if you just send the audio because it'll sound better. But you can, either way, whatever works for you. But you can sound off and we'll play it here on the air. Just make sure it's ready to be put on the air. I can't bleep anything out. If you say anything that I can't put over the air, I'm not going to be able to play it. So just keep that in mind. So talking about this story again that we have at WBSM.com and on the app about a second Ward 1 polling location that had an issue with Republican ballots. It ran out of Republican ballots. Now, one way to look at this particular incident, is to say, well, there must have been a lot of people coming out and voting Republican, whether it be registered Republicans or unenrolled folks who wanted to vote in the Republican primary. And that was probably true. I think a lot of people who were voting in the Democrat primary, who took that ballot, for the most part, you had the people who were opposed to Joe Biden, who wanted to vote against Joe Biden in the primary. That includes the folks who are pushing for a ceasefire in Gaza, and you know, the folks who have a problem with some of his policies. So a lot of the votes against Biden in the primary were not necessarily a vote for other candidates, but they were a vote against Biden. But I think most people realize that the race that mattered the most and really didn't matter, because we knew who was going to be the nominee for the Republicans, but they... As interesting as the race could be, the Republican race was more interesting. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of unenrolled folks went in and took that ballot too. But as I said, this isn't a situation of what happened in 1D where someone didn't pack the ballots and they opened up without them. This happened, according to the statement from the Board of Election Commissioners, in the early afternoon, which means someone at the precinct saw that those ballots were dwindling. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know this for a fact, is that Bill Maher line that he does? I don't know this for a fact, I just know it to be true, that someone would have notified the election office well before they were down to the last ballot. and probably in time so that even if it did take an hour to come over there with more ballots, they gave them enough advance notice. If this was early afternoon and you know you're open till 8 o'clock, what's the joke? Democrats vote early because they're not at work and Republicans can't vote till they get out of work. You've got to think that you're going to have more people coming in the later, you know, in the evening hours. So you know that you don't have enough ballots. Why did it take so long to get more? I brought up the point yesterday. I don't know how, you know, who can handle the ballots, who can bring them from one place to another. If the precinct warden can do that, if the ward warden can do that, couldn't the ward warden just go to another precinct and take some over to 1F to get them by until more come over? I don't know. I'd be interested if anybody that's ever worked the polls. We had a lot of people that called the last couple of days that are former poll workers. And maybe, you know, today there are people who were actually at the polls who just weren't listening on Tuesday because they were, you know, at the polls working. Have you ever run out of a ballot before? And what has happened in that situation? Let me know. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going?
Not bad. Yeah, this is going to be a story until the mayor clears it up and clears up the air. But which I'm surprised he hasn't. He has a cell phone, even if he's on the road. You know, he definitely, this seems like it's a significant emergency.
I don't know this to be the case either, but a cell phone only works if the person you're trying to call picks up.
Yeah.
So maybe he hasn't had a chance to actually, or maybe it's something that he wants to handle in person. You know, Mayor Mitchell is somebody who takes personnel matters seriously. I know, you know, I mean, he might seem cavalier about it when he talks about it with the media, but I know that he takes it personally in person, so he might feel like this has to be a face-to-face conversation, and he was going to wait till he came back into town to do it. But he'll be on with Chris at 11 today, so he'll have something to say about it then, I'm sure.
I would hope so, because last time he kind of poo-pooed it away with the signage, and you know, this time it's significantly more egregious.
Well, and I don't want to, you know, go against some of my colleagues here who are passionate about the sign issue, but I don't think the sign was as big a deal as people made it out to be. It still shouldn't have happened, but right. I don't think there were people that were actually confused thinking, oh, gee, I'm supposed to vote today instead of, for the first time ever in my life, I'm going to vote on a Monday instead of a Tuesday. Right. I think that was more just because it was just another egregious error.
Right, and that's what kind of, that probably is what got Chris a little aggravated, was like another incident. It's not like a one-off, oops, and then you don't hear about an accident or a misstep for like two to three years. It's another one. We have like one or two a year all the time. And this is definitely something that the man needs to address significantly. I mean, I don't even know if he's going to be able to address it today on the air. He might not. I mean, he might be, not as detailed as he should be on the air.
Right. He might not have all the information yet. He might not have had a chance to talk to the ward captains and all that kind of stuff. He might want to do a little bit more digging onto himself, but he will definitely have something to say.
I would hope so, just because it's such a bad light. You know, it's another black eye on the city of New Bedford. And you know, if it's, like I said, one-off thing, everybody makes a mistake at their job, but when it's a consistent basis, it costs you your job. It definitely should cost a job, whether it's Manny's job or it's the ward captain. Maybe I think the ward captains are a volunteer also, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think that the problem here is, even if it is that person's fault, even if that person was inept, then there still needs to be some blame or at least some of this put on the elections office as well, because you're responsible. You're the supervisor for them. And, you know, it might have been the ward captain's fault that they didn't have enough ballots to get through the day in precinct 1F, but it's not his fault that it took over an hour for them to arrive once they called looking for more.
Right. And there's an entire commission, not just Manny. So is there any way to get the opinion or statement from the rest of the commission? I know Henry Bousquet is the Republican on there, right? If I'm correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that he has an opinion. And considering that it's his party that was directly affected, I would figure that he would want to actually come out and say something. Because now, the commission, does the commission hold the commissioner responsible? Like, is it kind of like a board of directors? And he's the CEO, or how does that work?
I'm not sure. The way it's always been characterized is that it all the decisions are in the hands of Mayor Mitchell, that he's the one who right. appointed Manny DiBrito as the election commissioner. The city council confirms that appointment, and that it's up to Mayor Mitchell to decide if he wants to remove him. They might be able to make a recommendation, but I think it's ultimately the mayor's call.
Who puts the entire commission together? Does Manny pick the commission below him, like Henry and all the others?
I don't know. And again, these are questions that, you know, it would probably be easiest if they would just, you know, if Mayor Mitchell said to Manny, why don't you call into the radio station and explain these things instead of having this control of information that they have. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of that will be asked today of the mayor, and he will have the knowledge to be able to share that information. But I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's just such a, especially in a day and age where you still have yahoos out there who think the election was stolen. You know, you got yahoos out there who think Joe Biden's the illegal president of the United States. And this is what's happening in a local event. It doesn't help the situation, you know, with people's trust in the system.
I mean, I put the story out on social media yesterday after I published it, and the comments show up on Facebook right away. Oh, here we go. Oh, and now it's starting with the BS.
Yeah, this is exactly how it's going to roll.
And I still firmly believe that these were just dumb mistakes, that this wasn't anything that was nefarious, but it doesn't matter because the perception is going to be there from the people who are looking for that confirmation bias.
Exactly. And this is the whole point of the matter is you have to be, and this is why I'm really adamant about voter ID too, because that just takes away an excuse when Donald Trump loses or one of his candidates lose. Because I've talked about this multiple times. Trump has a track record of stating that things are rigged against him. The Iowa caucuses in 2015 were rigged against him when he didn't win. He goes, so he has a history, a blatant history of claiming things are rigged when things aren't, even when it's in within his own party. So we need voter ID. We need to make sure everything is, you know, all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed before anything happens.
And I'm just going to put this out there, and I'm not trying to have delusions of grandeur here, but when we put the story out Tuesday about what happened in 1D with no ballots there when it opened, that was out on Twitter. I mean, it wasn't just us two because, you know, the person also called into WRKO, but the story got out there and it was all over, you know, Republican Twitter that this was happening. And you don't think that Donald Trump that Donald Trump's team, that somebody didn't see that going on? And had Nikki Haley won Massachusetts, you would have gotten a Donald Trump, you know, Truth Social post about, you know, New Bedford, Massachusetts is, you know, rigged against me.
Right, 100%, 100%. And nothing against the you know, Mayor Hodgson and his wife, but she was one of the catalysts to this, right? She brought this to light, as she should.
Right, she brought it to the Mass GOP, and they brought it to the Secretary of State, yes.
Right, and so Joanne Hodgson brings it to her husband, Tom, who has a direct line to the president.
That's true, too, yeah.
President Trump. So that could have been, if anything was weird, you know, Donnie Trump was going to get that phone call, and he would have been all over Truth Social saying that it's rigged.
Listen, we know Tom Hodgson sends emails to Stephen Miller, right? Because there was news coverage about that. We know that he has the email addresses to people that were in the Trump White House. He probably has a phone number that he can contact Trump himself on. I never even thought about that, Ray. You're right. He probably had a direct ability to let him know about it. So, yeah, I mean, what does that say when, you know, I mean, he's able to laugh it off and say no big deal because he won by such a huge margin. But if he didn't, it would have been a different story.
it would have been an absolute. And like I've told other people, but this whole thing doesn't benefit Biden, right? Because it's a primary. So if a Republican or an independent who wants to vote Republican can't vote Republican, that doesn't help Biden because he doesn't get the extra vote.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So all it does is hurt the Republicans. The Republicans will just have a voter turnout that was significantly lower than Biden, rather than being such a tight race, which you see in the city of New Bedford. It was significantly closer between the two. I think 79% for Trump and 74% for Biden for the margin of error, for the margin win.
So, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that having less votes might mean that there might be people in Massachusetts less likely to donate, or like you could try to extrapolate it out to a problem. But in the end, it really didn't have a big effect, except for the fact that it just shouldn't have happened.
Exactly. It was just ineptness and it shouldn't have happened. And clearly somebody needs to be let go. Somebody needs to be let go. This isn't the first or second or third incident. This is, if you make the same mistake consistently, there is a leadership issue or the leadership is inept itself.
Well, I'll say this. The Secretary of State's office is looking for answers now. So
exactly. They should.
There's going to be some accountability one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right, Tim.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
How you doing, bud? You too.
And I will take more of your calls, 508-996-0500, but I've got to take a break.
Good.
And we are, I know it doesn't seem like it, seems like March just started, right? But we are now only 10 days away from St. Patrick's Day. 10 days away from needing to have the most delicious corned beef available to be able to cook up for your family. And where are you going to be able to get that? At the butcher shop. But you got to get your order in soon so you can make sure that you don't miss out. The Butcher Shop is located at 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. It is a real old-school neighborhood market that has everything that you possibly need. But, of course, the feature, the real true feature, are the great meats that they serve up at the Butcher Shop. And they will have some of the best corned beef you can get your hands on. But you got to put your order in soon. You can also get all kinds of other great meats there. Sirloin steak, tomahawk steaks, porterhouse. You can get the Terrace Major if you want to save a little money but still have a good cut of meat. And, of course, celebrity pork chops, giant chicken wings, chicken breasts, seafood, whatever it is that you need, they have it over there at the butcher shop. Plus, all of your beer and wine needs, a cheese fridge with cheeses from all around the world, and delicious pre-made foods. So if you just need something quick to eat, they've got that too. Check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. I always say it, but it's true. You will be sure to find something delicious. All right, I've got to take one final break here in the hour. We'll be right back. All right, we have only about a minute left here before we're going to have to go into the news. We'll have ABC News, and then we'll have Phil Devitt with all of your South Coast news. On the other side of that, we'll get more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500. And again, if you can't remember the number, sometimes you have something you want to say, and you're like, oh, what's the number? Oh, Tim hasn't said it in a while. I try to say it often, but sometimes I don't say it as much as I should. You can always just open up the WBSM app and hit the Call Us button in the middle of your screen. If it doesn't show up in the middle of your screen, there's a little arrow there in the middle you can push to go over it or see more buttons. And you can just hit that button and it'll bring up our number and you can call us. So you don't even have to have it memorized. Also on there, you can enter to win Lewis Black tickets. We'll be giving some of those away. And of course, we'll have some other great contests for you, including